Shabbat Shalom, brethren. Today is Saturday, the 19th of February, 2022. And we are in the Hebrew month of Adar 1. Today is day 18 of this month. And it's Shabbat Ki Tisa. So the names of the Sabbaths, weekly Sabbaths, come from the names of the Torah portions that we read every week. So every week of the year has a Torah portion assigned to it. This includes the weeks within the weeks of the festivals, you know, the various biblical festivals mentioned in the book of Leviticus 23. Now, there are several Torah portions. I've forgotten how many they are all together, but yeah. Those weeks where we have the biblical festivals, like, for example, those that take up a whole week. For example, the week of the Passover festival or Pesach, we do not read the Torah portion of that week, you know, assigned to that week that is part of the Torah portion breakdown for the year. Because there are portions of the Torah that are particularly related to Passover that we are supposed to read that week. And that is a week to pray against pride and sin generally as much as possible, because that is what we are getting rid of. That is the main focus of that season, for example, because in that time Yahushua HaMashiach died for our sins so that our sins may be washed away and totally done away with. Especially the sin of pride, because his body was broken for us. His body is like the unleavened bread, which in Hebrew is called matzah. That, you know, the matzah has holes in it, and it's not that good looking, and it's not even very tasty. That's exactly how Yahushua's body was when he was beaten and bruised for our iniquities, as the book of Isaiah describes. Right now, let us look at the Torah portion Ki Tisa, which, you know, means in English, when you take away. I'm just going to go through briefly. I'm going to try and keep it short because there's so much to share in this Torah portion. Now, it starts off with chapter 30. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us concerning this for your glory in Yahushua's name. I forgot to say that the Sabbath is talked about throughout the Holy Biblical Scriptures. And it starts in Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3. It's very clear that the Sabbath is for all mankind. It's not just for Israel. It's just Israel was chosen as the most outstanding nation that is to stand as an example to the whole world, so that the whole world can know the one true God and worship Him. So Israel is being made an example out of. That's why they have all the privileges of owning the Torah or the law, and they are the ones that promote the original Sabbath from Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, Exodus 28 to 11. Many people take this issue for granted at the moment, but we will all know that this is not to be taken lightly once the anti-Messiah Obama comes back to power, starting off in America and then relocating to Israel, the Holy Land. So once the grace period comes to an end, which is when Obama rises to power, what's going to happen is attending the Sunday churches will be dangerous to mankind. It doesn't matter whether they are born again or not, but this message is mostly for the born agains. Whoever continues to attend Sunday church will be putting their lives at risk. They will lose their souls to the devil. So it's very important to know the original Sabbath, which is Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. We are not supposed to carry out any business on this day, no shopping, no, we're not supposed to have parties because parties are a lot of work. If you were to hold any party on this day, you have to make sure that everything is done well in advance before sunset on Friday so that you don't make people work during the party, you know, and also the clearing up has to done to be done after the Sabbath. So all the food we are to eat on the Sabbath is to be cooked before the Sabbath and, you know, eaten on the Sabbath without having to warm it up. What the Orthodox Jews do is they use food warmers. They switch on the food warmers from Friday sunset, from just before sunset, because we're not supposed to light fires once it's sunset. So from just before sunset until just a little bit after sunset, so when the three stars appear in the sky on Saturday, they keep the food warmers on and they leave most lights on. They go as far as not even having a bath because, like now in the West, the water is very cold. We're supposed to boil water before we bath, and you know, we're not supposed to kindle any fire on the Sabbath. So Sabbath is a very special day. It's a weekly set apart day on which we are to just rest. Put your feet up, relax in bed as long as you want. Worship the Lord, read your Bible, spend more time in the Word of God than on any other day of the week. For 6 days we are given to work, and on the seventh day we are to rest. Even in heaven, the Sabbath is honored. No work is done on the Sabbath. Everything that is meant to be done on the Sabbath is somehow prepared to sort itself out on the Sabbath. And then the angels get back to work on the Sabbath. They rest on the Sabbath. God rests on the Sabbath. Nobody does anything on the Sabbath. So, so the Sabbath is so important to the Most High God that he allows everything, just as, you know, Matthew chapter 6 verse 10 says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The heaven determines what is done on earth, and we are to just follow suit. So if the Sabbath is highly honored in the heavens, it has to be honored highly on earth as well. But obviously the devil is fighting this as much as possible so that people are misled. And I want you to understand or remember, whatever the devil does, he has an end time agenda. For everything he's trying to get us accustomed to, there is a plan to use it against us during, you know, when the day of the wrath of the Lord begins. And that day begins with the Trump Tower being the nuclear bomb hitting the Trump Tower, which is 9/11 part 2, because it's going to open a door for more war. People will desire to go to war saying, oh, we have terrorists, just like it was in 9/11 back in 2001. The same thing is going to happen this time around. And, you know, that will be the end of Trump in office in America, because he's coming back anyway, but he will not stay for long. He will not even be able to stay up to 4 years. It will be much less than that. Even the way he's coming back is just going to be bewildering for many people. Biden will just somehow disappear or walk out of office and Trump will come in. Anyway, let's talk about the Torah portion. Torah portion, we're beginning from Exodus chapter 30. And we're still and all the way to chapter 34. Now, this is about the tabernacle of Moshe. So remember that after Exodus chapter 20, the next chapter from chapter 21, Moshe is on Mount Sinai. Well, it says he's on Mount Sinai for 40 days. and he is with the Lord. He is with the Lord, and the Lord is giving him the various Torah instructions that Israel needs to hear. Now, all these instructions go through Moshe. So, the first thing I'm going to say is that according to the lost books of the Bible, the main one here that I'll be referring to being the Legends of the Jews, though there are others, like the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Jasha or Hayasha, or the Book of the Upright Man. There's also the Book of the Secrets of Noah or the Book of Noah, and many other books. According to the Legend of the Jews, it says clearly that Moshe went up the mountain, Mount Sinai, after Yahweh called him up. He stayed on that mountain for 7 days. So from the 6th of Shivan, then 7 days, just cleansing himself from fleshly desires and generally from sin and from these earthly attachments, whatever is clinging onto his flesh that cannot allow him to, you know, go into heaven easily. Now, he cleansed himself as the Lord was revealing to him. And after the 7 days elapsed, that's when the Lord sent a cloud. Yahweh sent a cloud on which he told Moshe to step onto. And the cloud took him up to the heavens. Now, the journey to the heavens was a bit long because many things happened and Moshe nearly fell back onto the earth on several occasions because many holy angels were jealous of Moshe. Some holy angels that he bumped into on the way there were jealous of him and wanted to destroy him. They were like, "What is Moshe doing here? He has no business, you know, coming up to the heavens." They had no idea that, you know, Yahweh had called him up. But also, I see it as they were not using wisdom, you know, because we humans, we can't just suddenly, you know, make our way to the heavens on our own accord. Yahweh has to invite us and even give us the ability to ascend into the heavens. So one of the other reasons why they were maltreating him is he was in the flesh when all this was happening, and they were looking at him saying, "Oh, what is he doing here?" And you know, because they are full of fire, they are made of fire and rock, they were using fire to attack him. So Yahweh really had to protect him. But in the process, Moshe learned so much about the spiritual realm, you know, how things are happening over there. So that's just, by the way, he spent 30 days basically in the heavens. He stayed there from the 7th day after 6th Shivan. 6th Shivan is Shavuot, also known as weeks in Hebrew. No, Shavuot in Hebrew, weeks in English. So the festival of weeks that is mentioned in Exodus 34, Leviticus 23 and other places. And then also it's known as Pentecost because it's the day on which the Ten Commandments were given, or the Torah was revealed and, well, revealed, let's not say given, revealed to the children of Israel. And then many years on the very same day, the Holy Spirit was, poured out upon the children of Israel in the upper room. It's very clear that all these two things happened at high level places, so mountain and upper room. And you know, Holy Spirit, as we have learned in the first two audios, is the Torah of the Most High God. Holy Spirit is the Torah, the spiritual Torah, but also the written Torah. So the written Torah was given, or the law was given to Israel many days. I was going to say 40 days after the 6th of Shivan, but no, they got it on Yom Kippur. So about 3 months later, the Day of Atonement is the day they ended up receiving it. So it was revealed to them on Shavuot, weeks, Pentecost, but given to them on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Now, that's why you can only get this understanding if you read the Hebrew Bible and also if you read the Legends of the Jews. It repeatedly says the Shavuot is the revelation of the Torah, but it's also the giving of the Torah in the spiritual form, because Jeremiah 31 says that the Lord will write his laws on our hearts. And if you look at the shape of our hearts, the shape of our hearts is in the shape of the Ten Commandments tablets. And many people say they have had revelations where they have seen the law of Yahweh written on our hearts. So we have no argument against the law of Yah. We're just contradicting ourselves over and over again. And eventually on Judgment Day, we will just be wondering why we said what we said. There's a witness all around us that will speak against us if we don't agree with the will of Yah. So the law of Yahweh, according to Jeremiah 31, is written on our hearts since the manifestation through, as recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Now, let me see how much time I've used in this audio. Okay, 16 minutes. Now, as I said, we are from chapter 21 of Exodus, all the way until, chapter 31, we are talking about the building of the tabernacle of Moshe. It's called, they named it the tabernacle of Moshe because he is the one that was given the instructions. So out of love from Yahweh and honor to Moshe, some things were named after him. That was the agreement in the heavens when Moshe had gone to collect the Torah from the Most High God. So, chapter 30 is talking about the altar of incense, and it gives the instructions on how to build this altar and where to place it within the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. Now, one thing you will notice is from chapter 21 to chapter 34, the name of Yahweh is mentioned quite a lot. A lot, actually, especially in chapter 34 at the first 4 or 5 verses. You'll see his name repeated so much. So he is Yahweh and not the Lord. He is the Lord. That's the title, obviously. But wherever you see the word the Lord, you're supposed to put his name, and his name is Yahweh. So here they are told how to build the altar of incense and where to place it within the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. Now, I must say that all the instructions that are given to Moshe concerning how to build the tabernacle, they are given in the heavens. So it's always been very confusing for me what's going on after chapter 20 of Exodus. I just am like, what's going on here? Is Moshe on Mount Sinai? But now I have the understanding because I have read the Legends of the Jews, and I understand that all this is being spoken to Moshe and he is writing it down. He is being taught and he's being given, I wouldn't say visions, because everything is already in heaven, as the book of Hebrews says. It's a copy of what is already in the heavens. So Yahweh just had to show him where these things were and what they looked like as he was giving him the instructions on how those things were to be built on earth, how they were to look like on earth. So from chapter 20 all the way to chapter 31, I would say, or 32, Moshe is up in the heavens. He only comes down back to the Mount Sinai in chapter 32 because of the sin of the golden calf, which is a major highlight in this Torah portion. Now, one outstanding thing that I feel is important to talk about here in chapter 30 as well is the census, because it's linked to, you know, what happens in the book of Numbers and later on during the time of King David, the Lord. I find it interesting. And also later on when Yahushua was born or nearly born, a census occurred in the land of Israel. The Romans ordered a census. Now, what I find interesting here is Yahweh says that when the census is being carried out, they have to, as they are being counted, the children of Israel are being counted, they have to make a contribution to Yahweh. And if they don't make the contribution, a plague will, you know, begin to, you know, manifest amongst the children of Israel. And just spread like wildfire amongst them. Now, this is something that I'm just asking Yahweh to throw more light on. I don't understand why they just can't count without having to, you know, make any contribution. I don't understand why. Maybe because the devil had a plan in the process. But just Yahweh instructed specifically that as the census is occurring, every man that is being counted that is above 20 must offer a shekel to him. And the amount doesn't vary from person to person in accordance with their wealth. Whether you are poor or you're wealthy, you give a shekel to him. And that shekel is placed at the tent of meeting and used as a form of, okay, it speaks for that person to protect them. It's an atonement. It's a seed of atonement for their souls, so that their souls are not lost to the devil. And remember, the soul is the most prized possession within the body of mankind. We are made of three parts: the flesh, the spirit, and the soul. The soul is the most prized possession of the three in terms of us being the image of man of Yahweh, Yahushua, and Shekinah glory. Amen. Hallelujah in Yahushua's name. So that is very important to take note of, that in this chapter 30, the census is ordered, and while the census is taking place, a seed of atonement must be sowed. And then also the Lord Yahweh emphasizes the issue of washing them, you know, the priests, particularly Aaron, washing themselves before entering the tabernacle of Moshe. That is very significant as it relates to the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach, because it relates to the scripture that says that through the blood of Yahushua, through the atonement of Yahushua, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. So that's how it links to this particular scripture. So all this is a physical picture of what happens in the spiritual realm. And this is why the Old Testament cannot be done away with. It doesn't make sense for people to say this done away with. Then the Lord gives special instructions on how to make the special fragrance that will be used as incense before entering the Holy of Holies. Okay, I'm going to stop here for now because the audio is getting too long. Shabbat Shalom. Remain blessed.